Good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. We're grateful that you have chosen to tune in and to study with us today. What does it mean to have faith unto the saving of the soul? This is the question that we have been considering for the past several weeks, and we want to bring this series to a conclusion today. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10, verse 39, "But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." The Hebrew writer goes on in chapter 11 to tell us what it means to have faith unto the saving of the soul by showing us the effect that faith had in the lives of various men and women. And we have learned from our study thus far that faith unto the saving of the soul involves more than just believing that God is. But this faith also contains the element of trust or confidence that will lead one to obey God. We have learned that this faith will always obey God. Because of Abel's faith, he offered a sacrifice pleasing to God. Because of Noah's faith, he heeded the warning of God concerning the coming flood and moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He obeyed God. Because of Abraham's faith, he obeyed God when God called him from his country and family to go into a land that God would show him. And by faith, Abraham obeyed God when God commanded him to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Faith always obeys God. Faith unto the saving of the soul is not just saying, "I believe in God," and then doing what I want to do, thinking God will accept me anyway. But rather, faith is trusting God and showing our trust by committing our lives in obedience to His will. For example, to believe in your medical doctor is to have confidence in him, and you show your confidence in him by committing your case into his hands and doing what he says. Well, in the same way, to believe in God is to commit ourselves, our ways, into his hands and to diligently follow his directions. Without obedience to God's commands, there is no saving faith. Well, today we want to conclude this series by talking about the faith of Moses. Now, I'm reading here from Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 27. "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Now notice, by faith Moses refused something, and he chose something else. Because of his faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now let's go back and look at some history. Moses was a Hebrew, but he was born at a time when the Hebrew people were in bondage in Egypt. Now Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had ordered that the Hebrew sons that were born be cast into the river. Moses' mother hid him for 3 months after he was born. When she could no longer hide him, she took a basket of bulrushes, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river and saw the baby in the basket. She had compassion on him. Now Moses' sister was nearby watching to see what would happen. And she came forth and asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go." So Moses' sister went and called Moses' mother. And some time later, Moses' mother brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Now when Moses was grown up, he made a very important decision. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now think about this decision that Moses made. Think of the prospects open before him as the result of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I'm not sure if he could have ever become the king of Egypt, but that certainly is a possibility. No doubt he would have had a position that would have been considered highly honorable and attended with great advantages. In Acts 7, verse 22, Stephen said, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds." Well, being the son of Pharaoh's daughter gave him the opportunity to receive the best education which the times and country afforded. It could have furnished him with the opportunity for a life of ease and pleasure and wealth. But all this, it says, he refused. He chose to leave the court of Pharaoh and to identify himself with the oppressed children of Israel, who are called here the people of God. Moses made this choice because of his faith. He believed in the one true God, the God of Israel, and not in the gods of the Egyptians. He not only believed in God, but he trusted God. He trusted that God would fulfill his promises to the children of Israel. And not only that, he also himself looked to a heavenly country, as stated in verse 26. It says, "For he looked to the reward." This no doubt refers to the heavenly reward. As Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob desired and looked to a better country, a heavenly country, Hebrews 11, verse 16, so Moses made his choice to obey God and suffer with the people of God so that he might obtain the heavenly reward. You know, there were wealth and pleasures and honor associated with being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but Moses knew that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. Those pleasures will pass. Suffering affliction with the people of God, however, had an eternal reward. Being assured of this, Moses chose to go with the people of God. Well, there are at least three things that we can learn from this passage. First of all, those who have faith unto the saving of the soul will deliberately choose to follow Jesus. A person doesn't become a Christian automatically. Just because his parents are Christians doesn't mean that he is a Christian. Just because one's spouse is a Christian doesn't mean that he is one. One becomes a Christian only when he deliberately chooses to give his life to Jesus Christ and to follow him. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If we come to Christ to be His disciple, we must desire to come after Him. In John 5 and verse 40, Jesus said, "But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life." Certain ones did not have life. Why? Well, because they chose not to come to Jesus. You see, if we are Christians, it is because we have deliberately chosen to deny ourselves and to follow Jesus. This is what it means to have faith unto the saving of the soul. And then secondly, this passage in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning the faith of Moses tells us that faith in God means more than just acknowledging that God is. It means we must refuse the pleasures of sin as Moses did. It means that if we have faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that we will actually put away all sin and live for Christ. You see, to be a disciple of Christ, one must obey Him. Consider with me a few passages of Scripture. John 8 and verse 31, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed.'" Also in Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "But why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" You see, it's not enough to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. We must do what He says if we are to be His disciple and if we're to find the heavenly reward. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to Me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father in heaven." In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." No one loves Jesus without keeping His commandments. And so a person who claims to be a Christian but chooses to practice sin, well, he has deceived himself. John said in 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." Have you ever been to a funeral and you knew that the person who had died had lived a sinful life, but the preacher preaching the funeral declared that the deceased believed in Jesus, and because of his belief in Jesus, he was now with the Lord? You know, so many today think that because they believe in Jesus, that the Lord will overlook their sinful life and usher them right on into heaven. But they are deceived. Paul said in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Well, Moses had faith in God, but it was a faith that led him to refuse the pleasures of sin and to live a godly life. And if we have faith into the saving of the soul, we will also choose to live a godly life. But then thirdly, we learn from Moses' faith that those who have faith into the saving of the soul will choose a godly life in the face of persecution. Moses, because of his choice, suffered affliction with the people of God. The children of Israel were oppressed and cruelly treated by the Egyptians. Moses knew this when he made his choice, but he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Verse 26. You see, he endured the persecution because he fixed his eye on the one goal, the heavenly reward. Moses' suffering in Egypt was the same reproach that Christ was later to bear. That's the reason it's called the reproach of Christ. And it's the same reproach that Christians bear today. To be a Christian, one must expect such abuse and persecution. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Those who have faith into the saving of the soul are convinced that there is a heavenly reward. Therefore, they endure the persecution, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than any wealth or pleasures of this life. You see, the wealth and sinful pleasures of this life are temporary. We enjoy them for a season, but then they pass. But the joys and treasures of heaven are eternal. And we have that eternal reward if we will choose, as Moses did, to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. Well, what does it mean to have faith into the saving of the soul? It means that we will live a life of obedience to God. We will live a life of obedience as Abel did, as Enoch did, as Noah did, as Abraham did, as Moses did, and as all the others did that are recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. The world around us may ridicule our lifestyle and persecute us, but we know whom we believe, and we are assured that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a free audio CD of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcast, just give us your name and address and the title of the program that you desire a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. There are three ways by which you may send in your request. You may email it in, and our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559. Again, we thank you for listening, and join us next week for Bible Talk.